Hello, this is Julie Candler with the BBC News. The President of Italy has told Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky, "We are fully on your side." Mr. Zelensky is on an official visit to Rome, where he's also meeting Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. From Rome, here's Sofia Bezica.
Italy is a country that historically has always had strong ties with Moscow. Now, Zelensky has pleaded for more weapons from the West time and time again. But there are people in Italy's coalition government who are not so keen on that. A clear example is Silvio Berlusconi. He's the leader of a centre-right political party that is currently in government. He is a long-time friend of Vladimir Putin, Russia's president. And so, you know, quite a delicate diplomatic situation for Giorgia Meloni to deal with today.
Germany has unveiled its biggest military aid package for Ukraine, worth almost $3 billion. The defence minister said it showed Berlin was serious in its support. Russia has meanwhile claimed last night's strikes to occupied Luhansk were carried out by Storm Shadow air-launched missiles, whose supply has just been announced by Britain. Final campaign rallies are being held in Turkey ahead of Sunday's crucial election. The long-term president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, is facing a strong challenge from an opposition unity candidate, Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, whose secularist agenda resonates with young voters. Anna Forster reports from Adana in southern Turkey.
Tough words and huge rallies have characterised President Erdogan's election campaign. But here in the south, the government's slow response to February's devastating earthquakes is a big election issue and could cost Mr. Erdogan votes. So too his handling of the economy, which has seen soaring inflation and a collapsing lira. The opposition candidate Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu is also back out on the campaign trail today. A softly spoken former civil servant, he offers the biggest challenge to Mr. Erdogan in years.
Residents of Omdurman, just north of the Sudanese capital Khartoum, say houses are shaking from the force of explosions as both army and paramilitary rapid support forces continue the war, despite an agreement to protect civilians and allow humanitarian access. The BBC's Mohanad Hashim has more details.
Since this deal was signed, fighting has continued, and in fact there was a huge attack in West Darfur, as well as fighting in and around Khartoum, and there doesn't seem to be an end to this. Now, they are supposed to resume talks again this weekend, expected tomorrow in Saudi Arabia for the two parts, to try and hammer out the details, how they are going to guarantee these safe passages, what sort of infrastructure they're going to put in place to try and resume work in the medical facilities and in the hospitals.
World news from the BBC. Israel has ruled out an immediate truce in Gaza, insisting Islamic Jihad must first stop launching rockets. Since Tuesday, the Palestinian militant group has fired more than 1,000 rockets at Israel, though most have been intercepted. On Friday, the group said they wouldn't stop the barrage until Israel had ceased targeting their leaders. The funeral has been held for a Cameroonian journalist killed by Anglophone separatists who said they had mistaken him for an army commander. Anya Ndeyensou, who worked for the Advocate newspaper, was shot dead in a bar in Bamenda last Sunday. During an emotional ceremony, his body was carried through the streets of the city in a microphone-shaped coffin. Pakistan's Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif has ordered the police to arrest everyone involved in the widespread unrest that followed the arrest this week of the opposition leader Imran Khan. Mr. Sharif said he'd given the authorities 72 hours to round up those he accused of perpetrating disgraceful acts of arson, ransacking and sabotage. Final preparations are taking place in the English city of Liverpool for the Eurovision Song Contest's grand final. The event is being held in Britain on behalf of Ukraine, last year's winners. The pop band Tvorchi is presenting this year's Ukrainian entry entitled Heart of Steel, a reference to troops who led an ultimately unsuccessful resistance against Russian troops at the Azovstal plant in Mariupol. David Silito sent this report from Liverpool.
The city is everywhere draped in the blue and yellow for Ukraine's flag. But with the Ukrainian president not being allowed to address the contest because of Eurovision's no politics rule, there's going to be scrutiny of just how the country is reflected in tonight's show. There's a change to scoring. Viewers outside the 37 Eurovision countries will, for the first time, be allowed to vote. Instead, I wrote a song.
BBC News.